Welcome, everybody, to the Midlife Hour. This is Bob Arcadian, a.k.a. Bob A., a.k.a. the Arcadian with the Madian, with the homie and co-host of the Midlife Hour, the greatest show to ever be brought to you on YouTube and or Apple Podcast, DP Grizzly. What's going on, buddy?
How's it going, buddy?
It's going great after this episode. I say we just jump right in. I have all the notes. Second best episode of the season for me. You want to jump right in? It jumps in with Mr. Milchick and Miss Wong, and he's. I thought it was going to be him reprimanding her, and it kind of was, no? What was your take?
It definitely was him reprimanding her, and I think the entire process, like, I really lingered on that, where she had to sacrifice something, giving up that little hoop catch toy or whatever she had as part of her moving on to the next phase of her development within the Lumen, you know, hierarchy or whatever. I lingered on that moment for a long time because Mr. Milchick almost seemed as if he was getting some kind of happiness or pleasure from putting her through that turmoil of giving
you
up
see, for me,
prized possession.
Do you remember the scene? You need to grow. I think that scene was to get to that scene for him. I think he was practicing how to be a dickhead to a kid, and it showed when he was like, again.
Or how to fulfill the role of management under the Kier's, you know, Lumen system.
Which we'll get into later with more with Milchick. But where did he send her? He sent her to the Gunnel Egan Empathy Central in where? I can't pronounce
Svalbard,
it.
Svalbard, Norway. It's a small Arctic community up in the far north of Norway. I know way too much about this in real life because I find it very interesting. But there's a small little town and outpost up there. You know, half the year it's in darkness, half the year it's in the light. And most of the year in the wintertime, they're frozen in, right? So you can't really use vehicles. Everyone's using snowmobiles. Anyway, that's real life. But it's
very
interesting.
That's a place I would want to visit, though. That sounds interesting to me.
It's very interesting that this empathy center would be like that remote, like that far away.
Well, it adds to the coldness of she's just a little kid and you can see it on her face, right? Like when he's telling her the news, we're going to take your bed from your family's house. The way he even put it, we're going to remove your bed from your family's home and send it to this ass in the middle of nowhere place in Norway. And you could see her heartbreaking as he said it. But the biggest heartbreak was, as you said, her smashing that little Kier Egan toy that she had, her little bubble blaster, whatever the hell it is.
What I thought was most interesting is I finally realized, you know, even after seeing the last episode, which focused on Cobell and her development through Lumen and everything, Mr. Milchick must have gone through the same process. I bet you there's an equivalent school for boys. And that me finally having that realization is like, no. He's been chasing acceptance within this system for presumably since his childhood, right? And even as he's now, you know, got this promotion, he's filling Miss Cobell's former position as, you know, managing the severed floor. He doesn't have the respect. Like, no one respects him. He doesn't get the autonomy or the reverence that his position deserves or that.
Okay, wait. We'll get back to Milchick because you know what's going to happen later in the episode. You know it. And I fucking loved it. It goes to from Milchick and Wong to Gretchen and Audi Dillon inside their house and her finally confessing to Audi Dillon that she kissed any Dillon.
Before we dive into that aspect of that interaction, what I noticed immediately is her patch was visible on her uniform shirt this time.
I didn't notice that.
It says fire, EMS, and police. So it's a multi-public service patch that's on her shirt. Now, given what we know, she's wearing a tie. Firefighters don't usually wear ties. EMS doesn't usually wear ties. Police officers, it's a little bit more common. So we've already hypothesized like what her role may be within but I think I'm leaning more towards she is some kind of officer, and that kind of pays off later on in the episode. But let's get back to their interaction about her revelation. She actually came out in the open after lying to Dillon two episodes ago when he asked if she went to go visit his innie. She kind of told him, like, I did go visit him, and, you know, he dicked me down like Bobby Brown.
She didn't say all that, but I do respect Bobby Brown. Every little step I take. I do respect the fact that she told him. She could have told him nothing. His reaction, on the other hand, do you think that was justified?
I thought about that in the moment because I knew that that would be a point that we would discuss. And I hypothesized what your reaction would be based off our previous conversation. But in my opinion, I think both individuals have a valid claim to their reaction. Do I think maybe Audi Dillon's reaction may be a little bit of an overreaction, given the fact that she was honest and came out and offered this information that she could have just withheld? But I do think he kind of has a valid claim to feeling the way he did.
Betrayed. And how could he not? She's kissing. We won't even go into the roofie aspect that we went into it last time because it got us nowhere. Flash forward to the next scene where it's Irving walking into his home, and lo and behold, who's there waiting for him, going through his briefcase, going through his research? Mr. Burt.
Boom. Irving, what do you think of me? I'm a great guy.
What I think is you need to acknowledge that I was right.
I think it was a 50-50 split on who was right, because he's not necessarily a bad guy, but we'll get into that later too.
I'm just saying, you gotta call a spade a spade, and I called it like I seized it.
Well, he tells him, and it's creepy, only the way Christopher Walken can deliver it, right? Let's take a drive. Let's go in the snow and take a drive. And they take a drive, and it leaves you wondering, where the hell are they going? What's gonna happen?
I think the implication, right, the mystery, the tone, the tension would lead you to believe that he was going to.
Awesome. I say, for this one, let's just tell the viewers what happens. He takes his ass to the train and to the train station and confesses his love for him, all but, right? Like, and tells him if he stays at, in Lumen's house, they're going to off him. And
are we going to just leap over the bigger revelation that
came? What was the bigger revelation?
The fact that Burt was an assassin for Severin.
And you're right. And the fact that Irving knew him from back then.
I must have missed that part.
He said, you know, I never hurt anybody. We never did that. And that was, I think that was in a reference to them back then in the day. It would make sense. They're both long in the tooth.
It all makes sense. Remember earlier in the season when Miss Cobell was confronting Helena outside of Lumen and Helena tried to get her to come in? And she's there with her very tall driver in that fancy car. And we came to the conclusion that Miss Cobell probably thought that they were going to kill her. I think that's exactly what was going to happen. I think drivers that work for Lumen are just assassins. And so when he said he would drive people places, I think he was severed and he would perform those assassinations under his severed identity. And once he was retired, he was put inside, given another different job. And someone else assumed that role. And that's who I think that tall guy is the newest.
Absolutely.
Assassin. So earlier this season and episodes ago, I said that I thought that it would be revealed that Burt was in cahoots with Lumen, which has been confirmed.
Confirmed, but he has a heart still.
Everybody has a heart. Hitler
had
a heart.
Irving.
Trump has a heart.
But aside from Irving and Burt.
Walk right past that one.
What was that? Kendrick? Who was that?
Dun, dun.
Yeah, see, because I was reading the notes. That's why I was trying to see where we were at. And it goes to that creepy doctor.
Dude, I can't remember. What was it? Dr.
Maurer. That's
Maurer.
What it was.
Dr. Maurer. That's what it was. Yeah.
It walks in on him with
the fertility clinic doctor.
Yeah. The graping Gemma doctor. And he's still watching Gemma on the tapes. And we see that she's still not completed.
What
and
was more?
They're trying to attempt to locate Mark.
Yeah, well, I think what was more important is the fact that he was watching the progress of Cold Harbor, seeing that it wasn't complete yet, and then he made that call, and, you know, it turns out everything going on this day within the Severance world was supposed to be a big day with the completion of Cold Harbor.
A celebration, bitches. But instead, we find Mark is with Devin, going to meet up with a Miss Cobell in the middle of the woods off the side of a highway. That scene was interesting. Very interesting.
I thought that scene probably could have been played out better. Like, I get they wanted to maintain the eeriness, but I thought it was excessively long for how little, like, was depicted, you know, if that makes any sense. I thought the phone call that Mark makes to Mr. Milchick was the most revealing, especially because it's preceded by a different interaction that we, as the viewers, get to see regarding Mr. Milchick.
Well, this one was revealing in the way that she finally told him about Cold Harbor. And we don't know if he knows about it, like, if he's fully reintegrated and he's just testing her to see if she's telling the truth. But she told him the truth. She told him about Cold Harbor and that if it's not completed in that interaction, that Gemma is going to die when it is completed. So they need to know.
Well, just like Mark and Devin's conversation in the moment, they did tell her everything about his reintegration process. While she may have mentioned Cold Harbor, she didn't tell him what Cold Harbor was. She's still holding some cards.
She did say it would kill her, though, when it's complete. I like that interaction,
you know,
when she's
say,
like,
the
Mark,
killer in
how
me
are you doing?
Killer in you.
That just gives me bad memories of radio play. People's undeserved radio play. Amateurs. But that interaction with him and Cobell, when she's like, Mark, how are you doing? And he's like, my God, so good. so good. Like, that, I busted out laughing out loud at that. Because what else are you going to say? He doesn't want to see you. He doesn't really want to do anything.
So you want to bring us in on the Mr. Milchick interaction?
You bring us in.
So as I was alluding to earlier, you know, Mr. Milchick must have been within this Lumen development system for a long time, presumably from childhood.
We can maybe draw
conclusions or some theories that maybe there's an equivalent Lumen school for boys, but he's progressing through this hierarchy. He's now in a position that Miss Cobell once held, right? Yet we've seen him get his first eval, which he basically just got shitted on. And every step of the way this season, management has come down hard on him and kind of shifted the blame. And nothing different about that happened than in this episode. When Mark is not showing up to work and Cold Harbor isn't completed as planned, all that blame, all that disappointment gets shifted onto Mr. Milchick. And he finally stands up for himself in that moment.
I loved it. Devour fetulence. Or some shit like that. And Drummond's like, what did you say? And he's like, it means eat shit. It's about time. It needed to happen. And we both called it. He's gonna go against Lumen. He's tired of the bullshit and the racism. You don't treat other employees like that. And he told him, it's not my responsibility to watch Mark S. when he's at home. That's your job.
Yeah, and I think it kind of speaks to his arc, right? And I think that kind of showed towards the end of that, not the end of the episode, but in that phone call that Mark had when he's pretending to call in sick and ultimately, you know, just reveals that he's going through something and he needed a day off. And he appeals to Mr. Milchick's humanity. And Mr. Milchick, having just had that, you know, moment of weakness within the eyes of being a Lumen employee, you know, kind of accepted his appeal to his humanity. And is like, you promise you'll be in tomorrow? So we'll see where, I'm excited to see where this.
But after he said it, he broke, didn't he? Like, he saw those tears streaming. Something's got that internal battle within Milchick is starting to break him. He's starting to have a breaking point.
He's breaking bad, breaking black.
Breaking real bad.
He's breaking backs when he's not at work.
After the whole Devin and Mark S. scene, goes to Helly talking to Dylan. And he kind of just low-key insults her, doesn't he? Blames her for the whole severed everything, which he's right. But not to any Helly, right?
Correct. And he kind of just reveals that, you know, maybe the innies are not so much different than their outies as far as like him being an asshole. What I thought was crazy is the level of disappointment he had in confessing his love for his actual outie's wife and the fact that that led him to resign and effectively kill himself.
Our boy quit and killed himself. Well, you know, we don't know. Did you hear a beep when he went in the elevator? We just saw him walk in. I don't think we saw it go down or up or anything. We just saw him walk in. So I think he'll be back with a vengeance. The Funky Fresh is back with a vengeance, Holmes, in the finale. And that's why we'll see Dylan G.
So a couple things towards the end of the episode. It was creepy as hell watching Egan.
Wait. Can I say one more thing just on that topic? It kind of hurt me to see how hurt Miss Wong was to see Dylan G quit.
Oh, that was a tender moment. That was a tender moment.
She's broken by that. She sincerely apologized. It wasn't on a Lumen kind of bullshit. You know what I mean? It was heartfelt.
Yeah.
I respect Miss Wong.
I think a theme of this episode is empathy, actually, right? Because you see Mr. Milchick display some empathy for Mark. You see Miss
Wong
show empathy for Dylan. You see Dylan's wife have empathy for not only Dylan the innie, but Dylan the outie, as far as being honest, but
and
also
doing the right thing,
but also being honest with the innie and saying like, this can't continue and declining, you know, his proposal or continuance of that relationship. And then also in some sick way, the empathy of Miss Cobell, whatever her motivations are, whether they're self-serving and her, you know, plot to get credit for creating the severance protocol and everything, or whether she's genuinely interested in bringing the company down or just genuinely interested in Mark. So we'll see. But I think empathy was the narrative of the entire episode. And that's displayed in that moment. Yeah.
And it's displayed when we see Miss Wong get on her bus, because that's how we felt. And it's displayed when Irving's going on his train ride to hell, because it looked like he was going nowhere. And it looked like that dark hallway that he painted for so long, didn't it?
Yeah.
And that last shot.
Another thing on that interaction with Dylan is, what is he, you know, Mr. Milchick says that's enough. But what does Dylan say? He's like, it's not your fault.
To not Mr. Milchick, to Miss Wong.
Yeah. But it was after Mr. Milchick was almost chastising Miss Kwong for, you know, having that moment of empathy, apologizing for not doing enough, for not being.
And that good. Shows us what Milchick is losing and trying to almost regain or realize that he's losing. Repress, better way to put it. Absolutely. What was that moment when Jamie Egan comes in on Helly when she's trying to figure out how to get to that floor where Gemma's at? He says, "You tricked me."
And here's the thing. They've shown that note earlier in the season. After Irving left and Dylan, you know, they did the little funeral service and Dylan checked behind the painting. I don't remember everything that was on the note, but that note said dad, right?
See, I'd have to see a still shot. So hopefully someone can find us one and put it in the comments.
They showed it a couple times and I could have sworn it said dad. And then when James Egan comes in and catches Helly working, she's really just studying the map to down the hallway. He says, "You tricked me. You tricked me." What does that mean? I don't know.
"You tricked me, my Helly." He's clearly been watching her and the way she eats her eggs and prefers that she would just drink them raw. Yeah.
Well, that's a callback to season one. So we move towards the end of the episode as Miss Cobell, Devin, and Mark S. proceed towards the birthing centers that were shown in season one. And what I found very interesting is the guard, right? The guard.
Oh, me too. And the terminology. What was it? Cottage 5? And she was one of Jamie's. She said that Devin's was one of Jamie's. And that's how she got in without being briefed and searched and whatever the fuck else. And then what did the guard reply? Specialties department? Mm-hmm. And then she let her right in? Yeah, that was a very interesting dynamic. And it also told us that maybe Harmony Cobell has done that quite a few times. That's
absolutely.
Her first rodeo with that shit.
Oh, Mark wakes up. Any Mark wakes up inside the cottage. He's a little taken aback. Devin's there. She asks him. The last thing he remembers, before we dive down that whole theories, predictions, or where the story might be going, can we just acknowledge how freaking beautiful that room and that scene was framed with Miss Cobell standing in the middle of the fireplace behind her, the lights, wood planking, the shadows, like it was a beautiful scene.
Even her standing there trembling as he said to her, she's alive, and she's now having to respond to that. And then it cuts out. That was a beautiful way to shoot that entire scene. I agree with you.
So we've pretty much talked about the entire episode. Where do we think the story's going?
I read it's going to be a violent ending for the season finale. I think we'll see Irving come back on the train. You clearly can't just have him off the show. So there's going to be something. Dylan is going to come back. I think he's probably going to come back on the elevator. That's why we never saw him go down, as I said earlier. And you give me your takes on the other guys. What do you think?
I think the finale will end with Mark waking up in the hospital and realizing he's just been in a coma for the last few years.
All right, get to the real take. Come on now. Fucking Inception bullshit.
He's just in purgatory and this is just hell on earth.
I mean, that could be it.
No, what I think is going to happen is we will not get a full-blown reunion between Mark and Miss Casey or Gemma, but we will see Mark on the inside, maybe aided by Mr. Milchick, and maybe aided by a Dylan who, while seemingly resigned, maybe stays within the facility somehow, and we get some kind of answers as to what Cold Harbor is.
I like that.
But I do not think any big overarching narratives with regard to Lumen and what they do and what they're involved in, the scale, the reach of their corporation. I don't think those questions will be answered. Not yet.
No, they'll do that for season three. But that being said, they're closing it off on a nice level. I appreciate this episode. I appreciate most of the episodes of the season, minus Woo's Hollow. And I'm hoping for a banger for a season finale.
As always, we appreciate you spending some time with us. We know you're probably watching this a couple days late, maybe next week. We literally just finished watching the episode, so all of this is fresh in our minds. We are excited for the finale. With that being said, drop some comments, give us some suggestions. What are we watching next? What are we going to be talking about every week for the next coming months throughout spring? Give us some ideas. What do you want to see? What do you want us to talk about? Thank you. It's been swell.
Let